Welcome to the weekend in this edition of the Florida Roundtable. I'm Bill Mick. Catch up with me and our podcasts at BillMick.com. This week, we're going to explore our love of cars and just what it's costing us. We're talking the auto loan debt that reaches 44% of median income in some states. Naturally, we'll focus on Florida as we talk with Chip Lupo, a Wallet Hub analyst who's looked at the situation and what we're putting into our cars and what it's costing us. Vehicles more expensive, and some folks find themselves upside down in loans they can't afford. How can you avoid it? Is leasing a good option? What mistakes are buyers making, and how do they avoid them? We'll address those issues and more this weekend on the Florida Roundtable with Chris Lupo from Wallet Hub from the Florida News Network.
Great deals are now blooming at Quality Green Specialists. Featuring a wide variety of fancy trees, ornamentals, herbs, and flowers, including over 50 varieties of fruiting plants, with sustainable organic nursery products and top quality soil testing. Experience a world of beauty at Quality Green. Open 9 to 4 daily at 335 West Michigan Avenue in DeLand. Online at qualitygreenspecialist.com. Quality Green Specialists. Top quality plants, sustainable gardening products, friendly expert advice.
Just below Florida's coastal waters lies its most tempting treasure. Fresh farm-raised oysters and clams. Plump, salty, and delicious, this bounty of bivalves makes any dish, whether grilled, baked, or fried, a little nautical, but nice. Sustainably harvested, these mouth-watering mollusks are available year-round. And with a flick of the wrist, a squeeze of lemon, or a splash of hot sauce, they turn any meal into a celebration on the half shell. To see what fresh, Florida farm-raised oysters and clams can do for you, visit freshfromflorida.com.
Do you have an invention idea but don't know what to do next? Call InventHelp today. We have representatives nationwide who will explain the InventHelp process step by step. Over 10,000 patents have been secured through InventHelp's patent referral services. The InventHelp data bank includes thousands of companies who have agreed to review new ideas. We've been helping inventors since 1984. Let's help you next. Get started today.
Call us for free information at 1-800-558-5497. Again, 1-800-558-5497.
Ah, the sun's out, the water's cool. It's a perfect day for boating.
What's that boat doing?
Perfect boating days can quickly turn into disasters when drugs and alcohol are involved. Don't let boating under the influence ruin your day. FWC officers have zero tolerance for impaired operators. If you're over the limit, you're under arrest. Learn more at myfwc.com. Brought to you by the FWC Division of Law Enforcement.
Nice to have you with us this weekend on the Florida Roundtable. Nice to have you along here on the Florida News Network. I'm Bill Mick. Chris Lupo's with us. He is an analyst with Wallet Hub. Chris, thanks for taking the time and joining us this weekend. Let's talk a little bit about you, what you do at Wallet Hub, and how you guys compile this great information you come up with.
Well, Bill, it's Chip, and I get that a lot. So it's Chip Lupo.
That's my bad. I've got it written down as Chip. We'll go ahead and live with that. Let's talk about how you got where you are and what you're doing.
Well, Bill, I've been with Wallet Hub since 2018 as a writer, and moved over to a writer analyst about a year and a half ago, to where I reach out to establish a relationship with media folks like yourself, having been in the media, to just take the context of our studies and kind of just break them down to plain English so that the outlets can deliver content to their audiences. I do have a background in print journalism. I was in newspapers for about 15 years or so. Started as a sports writer, general assignment, desk work, those sorts of things. And it's interesting, when I started at Wallet Hub, we were based out of Washington, D.C. But post-COVID, the CEO basically was so disgusted with the lockdowns and all the draconian rules, and he just packed up, and Wallet Hub now has a headquarters in Miami.
Oh, wow. Well, welcome to the free state of Florida. That's a good thing, I'm thinking.
Yeah, he's not the only one. No,
no doubt. Let's talk about how you gather the information and the things you bring, especially when it comes to financial things. I think folks need a clear, concise explanation, not always easy to get when you're dealing with a financial institution or when finances become part of the conversation.
Right. Well, Well, Bill, Wallet Hub is primarily a personal finance website, and we do offer credit card recommendations for folks who are in market for credit cards or personal loans. We have a number of tools that allow folks to get out of debt, things like debt payoff calculators. We also have like budgeting tools, a whole wealth of information out there, stuff that I kind of wish was available to me 20 some years ago when you're first starting out and trying to get your finances in order.
Boy, we could all use that. That's for sure.
But Bill, normally what we do is with these state studies, and even we have sometimes wider ranging studies with cities, is basically we come up with specific metrics, and most of it is based on government data, whether it's census data, Bureau of Labor Statistics, and depending on the specifics, if it's education data, FBI for crime reporting, things of that nature. And then we apply relevant metrics, and essentially we rank the cities or the states 1 to 50, and depending on the study, you know, one, if you're number one, it's a good thing. And if and in some cases, I did a interview this morning, we were talking about states with least amount of debt, and Iowa was 50th, which is a good thing. In studies like that, it's good to be at the bottom, the least debt. So depending on the study, whether you're top or bottom, it just depends on basically the metrics and what it is that we're looking for.
Whether you're going to score it like golf or basketball, there is a difference.
Oh, exactly. We're darts, yes.
Yeah, that's very true. When it comes to what we're looking at today, auto loans and basically debt ratios for folks, folks are diving in and going pretty deep into their own finances to have the car they're wanting. That scares me a little bit.
It is scary because as it is now, Bill, we're looking at just in this country alone, like $1.6 trillion in car loan debt. And that averages out to about 13,000, almost 14,000 per household. And that's only going to go up with the prices of cars keep going up.
Sure.
Particularly with this uncertainty with the tariffs, whether it's for vehicles or car parts, you expect that to go up, even though inflation is kind of leveling off. The cost of a car doesn't seem to be following suit.
Well, that's true. And hey, everybody's in business to make money, and I understand that. But with the tariffs being a questionable thing, the economy and what changes are coming as a result of the change in administration in January, it seems like it's up in the air for a bit. You guys have a handle on it, and that's why we're talking to Chip Lupo with Wallet Hub as we continue on the Florida Roundtable. Let's keep you out of trouble. Let's get you the car you want if we can. And we're back in moments.
Up to 44% of veterans say reentry into civilian life was difficult. 20% say they experienced depression, and 6,000 vets complete suicide every year. You're not alone. At the Florida Veterans Support Line, over 300 veterans like you call every week for resources, referrals, and support. Connect with one of our veteran peers who has walked in your shoes and can help you take the next step. You're not alone. Call 1-844-MY-FL-VET or visit myflvet.com.
You work hard to provide a better life for your family. The only problem is that you now have a tax bill that you can't afford to pay. The IRS is now threatening to garnish your wages and put a levy on your bank account. You can't ignore the IRS. They won't go away on their own. You need help, and you need it now. Call the tax pros at United Tax Fix today. Call 800-762-2768. That's 800-762-2768.
Hello, I'm Hector Elizondo, Emmy Award-winning actor, and I want to talk to you about getting older. My body hurts, my joints ache, and sometimes I forget.
I forget that doing all your own scenes for a movie isn't always the best decision. Especially when you're galloping side saddle down a countryside road on a horse named Archibello, who seems to have only one speed, high. And pulling on his reins only seems to encourage him to go even faster. So, of course, my body hurts and my joints ache, but it's not because of my age. It's because I'm living my life. Oh, Archibello!
Don't let life pass you by. Take care of your brain health. It may just help you stay on top of your game.
As soon as this scene wraps, I'm going to kiss the ground, thank Archibello for his outstanding performance, feed him a carrot, and visit brainhealth.gov.
Find out how you can make the most of your brain as you age at brainhealth.gov.
Back on the Florida Roundtable with Wallet Hub analyst and writer Chip Lupo. Chip, thanks again for taking the time. We're talking about autos and our love for them in this country, number one, and our willingness to put ourselves in hot water in order to have that car we want. And some folks are doing that based on what I'm reading from you guys. What did you all look at, and what are you learning out of all of this?
Well, what we did, Bill, is that we took the basically what was the median auto loan debt for each state and then applied that to the median annual income for residents in that state and came up with a percentage to determine basically a debt-to-income ratio. How much of your income is being spent towards automobiles? Now, in the case of Florida, it seems, well, with a median auto loan debt of about $20,000, that's by today's standards, pretty average. And with a median annual income of about $52,000, Florida is spending 39% of its annual income on cars.
Is that typical?
Nowadays, it seems to be, because Florida is lumped right in there with a number of states in that 40 to upper 30% range, from my home state here in South Carolina at 37%, Tennessee at 38%, Florida 39%, and West Virginia at 40%.
My native land. And okay, you need a four-wheel drive in West Virginia. That's why it's more expensive. It snows. You got to get
absolutely.
There. Yeah, no doubt. What state you find is maybe the toughest for this debt ratio when it comes to vehicles? Which one would you classify as the worst off?
Well, let's take a look at the top four, because there's a commonality here.
Okay.
It's Mississippi, New Mexico, Arkansas, Louisiana, and we'll throw Oklahoma in there also at number five.
Okay.
Primarily in the Deep South, but there are states here, they're low-income states, mostly rural, so there is going to be a need for transportation to navigate through the, you know, rural, and the roads aren't necessarily the highest quality, and accessibility is often an issue. So there's a commonality there. Also, the median annual incomes are pretty low, so which is kind of the point of this study in a way, because you can have a low auto loan debt, but if you don't have a high enough median annual income to offset that, you're going to find yourself spending a larger chunk of your income on cars. Now, let's contrast that with Washington, D.C., for example. They have a pretty low median annual or median car debt of just under $18,000. But when you have a median annual income of $100,000 plus, 18% of your annual income. So your annual income kind of offsets that. And the states at the top of the list are finding themselves in trouble because they just don't have the wages, for whatever reason, are not keeping up with inflation. So you have less income and you're using more of that to pay for your car.
I would suppose that a more urban area like D.C. or New York or Los Angeles, with vast public transportation options, fewer people driving and using those other options,
What I was about to segue into that, because these states like Massachusetts, New Jersey, Connecticut, New York, Rhode Island, it is more reliant on public transportation. And in some cases, like New York, they pretty much make it cost prohibitive to even own a vehicle in the first place, with things like insurance and good luck trying to find a place to park. Parking garages cost a fortune. So in some ways, they kind of make it, again, like I said, cost prohibitive, kind of discourages people from even owning a vehicle in the first place.
Or try driving across a bridge or through a tunnel to get from one borough to another, or from New Jersey into
exactly.
New York. That's got to be nuts.
Exactly.
So that eases it for those areas, I would imagine, just a little bit. What do you find consumers are facing as they do? Are we seeing, because of this, more repossessions or loss of a vehicle? Or we've got an auto dealer in my local region who's advertising right now, and he says one of the main calls of repossession is somebody has a major incident with their vehicle, either an accident or a mechanical problem, and that forces them away from being able to make their payment if they're trying to get the car fixed.
Well, that's an issue also, because – and what we found with particularly with the states at the top of the list is that they do have they find their car payments are too high because either they're buying into these, no pun intended, these no down payments or very low down payments, so you have high car payments. And so it doesn't come as a surprise that some of these states do have the highest auto loan delinquency rates in the country. And then, of course, delinquency eventually leads to repossession. So you do find that in some of these states where they're struggling or where they're paying more of their income towards cars. But this all goes back to, Bill, to COVID and the microchip shortage is what drove cars to be more expensive or than they originally were. Just as an example, in around 2019 or so, pre-COVID, I had a 2004 Mazda 3 that I had bought brand new, and it was on its last legs by about 2019. So we were kind of in the market, kind of just looking, and we were looking at small SUV types, and this is like late 2019, maybe early 2020, used like Nissan Rogues, small Toyota RAV4s, those types, and they were somewhere in the neighborhood of about 17,000, 18,000. Fast forward 3 or 4 months to April 2020, and that same vehicle was going for 22,000, 23,000 because of the microchip shortage. Everything being coming from overseas was driving up the cost of new cars. People were flocking to buy used vehicles, and which, of course, and that drove the price up because of supply and demand issues.
How tuned are consumers, and maybe it varies too much to generalize, to the idea of buying a used vehicle? My dad bought used cars throughout my childhood and would occasionally buy a new one. But also the mantra is you're buying somebody else's trouble. What's that read on the consumer right now, as far as you can tell?
Well, there is a trend more and more to buying used cars, again, because the cost of new cars are just so cost prohibitive, again, for a number of reasons. And people don't factor in things. There's more to a car than just paying the purchase price. Now, first of all, anyone who pays sticker price for a new car is a sucker. Okay. Let's get that out of the way. Now, but there are other things that, aside from the purchase price, there's a sales, you know, there's, depending on your state, there's a sales tax. And so if you buy a car in Florida, I think it's 6%. And then there's all kinds of fees involved. And then, of course, insurance is going to be higher for a new car. And if it's a specialty type like an SUV, you can expect to pay even more in insurance. So people don't, but people are, I think, are becoming more in tune with these types of factors. So it is driving, forcing them to reevaluate when maybe a new car was a luxury, kind of maybe settling for a used vehicle.
Do the extended warranties that are available help on that front when it comes to that used car? I mean, you see folks advertising on television, these car warranty companies, they've even got Ponch from Chips advertising one of them. So
right,
they're out there. Are they beneficial and do they help that consumer at that point?
They can, but you have to read the fine print with these things. Just like with anything else, whether it's a home warranty or any type of warranty, read the fine print because there are certain limitations to, they tell you you can take it to pretty much any mechanic, but they qualify that by saying it's going to be a certified mechanic and there are certain, and again, they do come with certain tiers. So obviously the more you're willing to pay, the more you're covered. But there are some things, there's mileage restrictions, there's year restrictions. So they can be a useful tool. But you got to read the fine print and make sure that you're fully covered if it's going to be worth the investment. If you have a new type of a newer vehicle that's you're probably only going to keep for 5 or 6 years, trade it in, probably not a good idea. If you have a vehicle like I have, a 2016 Jeep Patriot that I'm going to drive until the wheels fall off, 160 some thousand miles, if an extended warranty would cover that, then it would be a pretty sound investment.
Yeah, like you, I'm driving a 2014 Toyota. It's been paid off a few years. I like my truck. Matter of fact, I just crunched it up a couple months ago and had a great shop do the body work, and it's back in fine shape, and I'm going to hang on to it. Who wants a car payment if you don't have to have one? But it sounds to me from the study that you guys have put together is a lot of folks aren't thinking about that. They're going ahead and jumping in. Are they getting themselves in trouble as they do it? Is that what's going on?
Bill, I talked to several years ago when I was living in North Carolina. I talked to a friend who was a service manager at an Oldsmobile dealership, and he said that there are people out there who never see the end of a car payment. It's basically built into their budgets, Now, this was in early 2000s, so things have probably changed by now. Mm-hmm. But you can find yourself in trouble, particularly if you get into repairs, because the cost of repairs have gone up also. And we haven't even discussed the tariffs, which actually, and people are keeping an eye on them, but they haven't even gone into effect yet. So when those come into effect, whether it's affecting the price of the car itself or the parts, people are going to find themselves in a world of trouble if you have a major car repair.
Well, we've got a couple minutes here. While you mentioned them, let's go ahead and explore tariffs for a second, because we don't really know what they're actually going to be. It was a negotiation point for the president from the time the discussion started. Those negotiations are ongoing. Some of them seem to be settling. So do you have a way of telling what the impact's going to be? Or are we still in question mode when it comes to that?
We are still in question mode here. And I think this is where the administration probably dropped the ball a little bit in laying out exactly what the consequences would be or what the benefits would be if they go through. People hear tariffs, and a tariff, for lack of a word, is a tax. People hear the word tax, and people's finances are pretty much strained over the last 4.5 years. So any mention of a tax is going to cause people to either hold off buying a car, whether it's used or new.
Yeah, that's true. Is that showing in the trends right now as far as the dealers are concerned? I've got a friend who's in the dealership business, and they've got several nameplates. Some of them are doing pretty well. Others are kind of lagging a little bit.
It is, and again, it depends on the geography, and also certain brands and certain styles. There's a huge trend, and you can see in the price, more and more people are relying on or purchasing pickup trucks or large SUVs. If you have a family that you're taking to soccer matches all over the state, fewer and fewer people are investing in just your traditional, you know, four-door sedans or two-door coupes. It seems to be more of a trend towards these larger vehicles. And that could also be related to the price of gas is starting to dip a little bit, too.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one bit of relief there for the car consumer.
And some of the manufacturers have said, we're going away from making the sedan. We make a model or two, but they are going to the SUVs and trucks.
Ford did that years ago, pretty much said, we're all in on trucks. And the F-150 is, if I'm not mistaken, is probably the highest selling and if not the most popular vehicle in the country today.
Auto buying, the risk of the debt, and what you're doing to yourself, and how do we help you do it any better? That's ahead this weekend on the Florida Roundtable, right here on the Florida News Network.
Boating restricted zones are an important part of ensuring safety on Florida's waterways. In idle speed, no wake zones, vessels must operate at a minimum speed that will maintain headway and steerage with no visible wake. In slow speed, minimum wake zones, vessels must operate fully off plane and a speed which is making little or no wake. In either zone, vessels should be completely settled in the water, regardless of speed. For more information on this and other safe boating topics, visit myfwc.com.
Do you have an invention idea but don't know what to do next? Call InventHelp today. We have representatives nationwide who will explain the InventHelp process step by step. Over 10,000 patents have been secured through InventHelp's patent referral services. The InventHelp data bank includes thousands of companies who have agreed to review new ideas. We've been helping inventors since 1984. Let's help you next. Get started today.
Call us for free information at 1-800-558-5497. Again, 1-800-558-5497.
Hi, I'm Johnny Erickson Tata. Growing up with a brother with autism, Sarah Crump witnessed firsthand how kids with disabilities felt left out by their peers. It's why at the age of 15, Sarah approached her cheerleading coach with an idea to include girls with disabilities on her school's cheer team. Well, what started out as an inclusive high school cheer team in a small town in Iowa has led to what is now known as Sparkle Effect, a thriving nonprofit with over 180 cheer teams across the United States, bringing students with and without disabilities together through cheerleading. The result? More confidence, higher grades, and better school attendance for kids with disabilities. And for those without a disability, new friends and a greater empathy. You want to learn more? Well, visit disabilitycampaign.org, where we have posted a link to the fabulous work known as the Sparkle Effect.
We're here early before they wake up. We stay late. We stay informed. We invest in the latest technology.
We take the time to train the next generation of doctors and nurses. We work together to make sure we heal their bodies and their minds.
We do this not because it's our job, but because this is about our veterans' lives. This is our mission. More than 300,000 of us working as one, together with families and loved ones. No matter where they live in this country, we'll be there.
We all come together and stand together to serve our veterans. We stand strong, united. Stand with us in caring for our veterans.
Imagine. Imagine being denied an apartment because of your religion, or your race, or because you have children, or a disability.
It's so wrong.
Yes, but who has the power to stop this?
You do. Each of us has the power. The law is on your side. It's illegal for landlords to discriminate because of race, color, religion, sex, national origin, disability, or familial status. If you suspect that you have experienced housing discrimination, file a complaint with HUD immediately so we can investigate it. Fair housing is your right.
Use it.
To learn more, visit hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Or call 1-800-669-9777. 1-800-669-9777. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Back with you on the Florida Roundtable, Bill Mick with Chip Lupo from Wallet Hub as we talk about autos, debt, buying a car. And I want to get into where we can help folks out if we can a little bit here, Chip. Can you actually buy a car without putting yourself into some kind of financial strain? Do you have recommendations for the best ways to go shopping and how to either finance it or buy it outright?
Oh, absolutely. Now, Now, if you are absolutely one of these people that has to have a new vehicle, like you mentioned, you don't want to inherit someone else's headache. Mm-hmm. Look at buying the previous year's car when the new models come in, and that's usually around fall. Now, growing up, my father was a mechanic, and I've been around cars my entire life, so normally used to be around September, October, but that line kind of gets stretched a little bit when they start bringing in the 2026s. Look at some of the 2025 models, because the closer you get toward the end of the year, they have to move that inventory. So if you're one of these people that has to have a new vehicle, bite the bullet and just get you a new 2025 when the 2026s start rolling onto the lots.
Yeah, and that warranty is still going to be there as far as the new vehicle goes, so that helps.
Absolutely. In a lot of lines, there's not much changing other than cosmetic changes. Every once in a while, a brand will get totally revamped. But you're essentially getting the same car with pretty much the same features and the same types of details and things that you would have wanted on the newer one.
And they've worked the bugs out that they might have had when it was a new model.
Exactly. So, and this is another thing. Keep an eye, check the recall history for those types and see if those issues have been worked out. But essentially, we would recommend buying a used car now because they are less expensive. You won't have to take out as large a loan. So your down payment will obviously stretch further. But interest rates, and again, this is people not reading the fine print here, interest rates on used cars will probably be a little bit higher than new cars. So make sure to do the math and make sure that you're going to be paying less in the long run before you sign the paperwork. Make a larger down payment if you're able. Treat a car like you would a house. Try to strive for like a 20% down if you're able. The more able you put down, the less you have to borrow, so which means less interest. If at all possible, get a shorter loan period. They have loans now that are going 72 months, 84 months.
That's a long time to pay on a car.
That's a long time.
You stretch that out beyond the warranty, right?
Beyond the warranty and beyond the worth of the vehicle, because you'll find yourself way underwater if you're halfway through this car loan and for whatever reason your income changes and you have to sell the car, you're going to wind up you're going to wind up losing money on that one. And then just from a strictly from a financial perspective, just practice good budgeting. When you're buying a new car, make sure you set aside money in your budget each month for the down payment or for future payments once you get the car. Build an emergency fund also. If your car is paid off, take a portion of what you were paying on that car and set it aside. Don't look at it as totally disposable income. Set part of it aside in an emergency fund to pay for those repairs, because again, they can get expensive.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Now, what about, let's talk about benefits of buying new and benefits of buying used, and we're hitting on some of those. Do you see anything in the new car that says this is a good reason to go that direction?
Well, the new car, obviously, you're going to be getting a more reliable product. You're not going to have one that was driven to the ground by the previous owner. That's the one benefit. Mm-hmm. Your resale value in the short term will probably be a little bit higher, particularly if it's a brand that traditionally has high resale value. I know some folks with some late model Hondas and Toyotas that could pretty much, I mean, they get offers. They could pretty much sell the vehicle for at or more than what they paid for it.
Boy, that happened after COVID hit. You're exactly right. And I was getting calls or emails from the dealer that sold me the vehicle, knowing that they needed it worse than I did, especially when they had trouble coming up with used car inventory. Now, buying that used car, certainly some benefits you've already listed. Pitfalls being you could be having somebody's problems.
Right, and that's when you should really do your homework, and there's a lot of tools and services out there, such as Carfax is a good one where you can look into the vehicle's history. You can see if you're in Florida and you're buying a car that maybe was originated in the Rust Belt, snow and salt on the roads to melt the ice. So you do have tools to really look into, but you have to take the initiative to do so. But used cars, again, late model used cars, maybe 2 or 3 years removed from the new ones, are always a good investment. Be careful when buying new cars with a lot of miles, because there's probably a history behind that, and it's probably not a very good one.
That makes sense. I've never been able to talk myself into the idea of leasing a vehicle. Are there benefits to some folks for leasing, or are you better off doing the outright purchase?
Well, you're better off actually buying it because it's an asset that you will own. Now, with leasing, it depends on your situation. Now, sometimes if you're in a short-term situation, if you're in the military and you're only going to be in a specific area for a few years, maybe leasing is a good idea. But keep in mind, though, that leasing does come with a lot of restrictions. There's mileage restrictions, and there's restrictions on what you can do with your vehicle. If you wanted to upgrade your stereo, that's a no-no. I mean, they're pretty strict about the leasing terms. But I think overall, you're probably better off buying than leasing.
Okay. Do you have any idea of typical mistakes that buyers will make, things they don't think about, they just jump in, or mistakes they make along the way? Most folks I know hate the car buying process. You feel like you're in the dealership for an entire day. There are various steps of pressure coming at you to buy the extended warranty or buy this protection package or this. Back in my early driving days, undercoating for your four-wheel drive vehicle to make sure you were protecting it from rust.
Dealer prep and all of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I had a friend who recently went and bought a Volkswagen Atlas, really nice SUV, but she talked about the experience going through the Volkswagen dealerships. She said it was like closing on a house, and she's a real estate agent. So, but you will go through a lot of paperwork, and it's a process. People tend not to like the process, the traditional going through a dealership, but there are outlets out there now. Now, it's kind of a crapshoot with these online sites where you can just buy the car online. It's kind of like the dating apps. It's kind of buyer beware. In a lot of cases, the picture you see of the car on the website may not exactly reflect what the vehicle looks like when it's dropped off at your house.
I don't think I could ever talk myself into buying a vehicle that I had not seen and probably driven.
No, absolutely. I mean, it's... But some people, again, they're just so desperate for a vehicle. And in some areas, you might be in a market in which dealerships are sparse and it's hard to get the vehicle that you want. But if you go that route, and they do, to be fair, they do give you a sort of a grace period to test drive it and drive it around, see if it's actually for you. But again, when you go that route, it's buyer beware.
Yeah, I can understand it. Well, for example, you mentioned having a friend who had, or you have a Jeep product, right? I had a Jeep in my younger days, a two-door, back in the day, it was a CJ5 or 7, and it was fine. But as that transitioned over into whatever they call that style of Jeep now, the actual Jeep, it depends on the model you buy as to what the legroom was in it. And one of them, I just couldn't drive because I couldn't get the seat back far enough to be able to operate the clutch and the gear shift.
Yeah, now that's another thing to keep take into consideration when you're buying a vehicle. Too many people purchase vehicles with just short-term thinking, with no thought, again, like we mentioned the military example. You may not even be in this area for very long, and then you're stuck with a vehicle that you won't be able to use. People have to, again, take a long-term approach. If you're a single guy in your 20s, why would you go out and buy a like a Miata, for example? At some point, maybe you'll get married, you'll have children, and suddenly lugging all those kids to soccer practice and all that equipment in a Miata is probably not going to be as advantageous if you have, like, a Dodge Durango that which you can easily fit 7 people.
Hope you don't have a lacrosse, a baseball player, or a hockey player that you're hauling around. That would be tough.
And especially with all the distances, a lot of folks have children that play like in these travel leagues. So you're going to be doing an expensive amount of traveling. So make sure you have a look into a vehicle. And people underestimate, or people don't tend to pay attention to the reliability.
Mm-hmm.
Always look at, and there's a number of sites out there, kind of treat it like the Olympics. Read several sites, just throw out the most glowing recommendation, throw out the most critical recommendation, and the truth will lie somewhere in the middle, whether or not you're going to get a reliable vehicle.
Well, and looking for that has got to be key. I want to talk to you when we get into our next segment about financial considerations. And are we trying to buy above where we should be buying? Are we unrealistic? Are we so in love with a vehicle that we're going to buy it even if it puts us in a crimped style? And that could be pretty tough, I would imagine. We'll go there when we continue on the Florida Roundtable. Chip Lupo's with us. He's with Wallet Hub. They take a look at the statistics, and Florida kind of average for debt to auto loan ratio, or to your income ratio for your vehicle. And what can we do to help you buy that car and be smart about doing it? That's what we're focused on this weekend on the Florida Roundtable here on the Florida News Network.
Hey, Bill, how's it going?
I'm fine, Bob. I just wish I were ready for mosquito season.
Well, that's why I bought Summit Mosquito Dunks.
Summit Mosquito Dunks?
Yep, they kill the mosquito larvae before they're old enough to bite.
How about that? Well, I guess I'm off to the store.
Help protect yourself and your family from diseases caused by mosquitoes with Summit Mosquito Dunks. Available at garden centers, hardware stores, and online at SummitResponsibleSolutions.com. That's SummitResponsibleSolutions.com.
Stop your grinding with Brooks Nightgard.
Are you waking up in the morning with a sore jaw, headaches, ringing in your ears, all because you're grinding and clenching your teeth at night? That's exactly what was going on with me. I ended up going to a dentist, and he wants to charge over $600 for a night guard. That's when I found the Brooks Night Guard. You mold it at home to the top or bottom teeth. Other mouth guards go all the way to the back, which allows the back teeth to touch. This is where most of the grinding and clenching occurs. The Brooks Night Guard redirects the bite force away from the back teeth, reducing jaw pain while still protecting the teeth. This unique design is what makes Brooks Night Guard different from all other traditional grind guards. Order your Brooks Night Guard today and get 10% off plus free shipping. Go to BrooksNightGuard.com and enter the code Brooks95. That's BRUX95.
Stop your grinding with Brooks Night Guard.
This boating season, the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission wants to remind you to wear your life jacket. You make a difference in the life of your family. As a parent, it's your job to keep your kids safe and be there for them. You do it at home, at school, and you need to do it on the water as well. Always wear your life jacket and have your children wear theirs too. It's a basic step that saves lives. Life jackets save lives. Wear it, Florida. Visit myfwc.com for more information. That's myfwc.com.
Chip Lupo from Wallet Hub with us as we talk auto financing, buying, and keeping yourself out of trouble. Some states, folks are really upside down in trouble on these things. Let's keep you from being there. Chip, let's talk about as you go to make that purchase, and chances are, new or used vehicle, you're looking to finance it. What are the considerations folks should have as they look at that financing option?
Well, one thing, Bill, is first of all, when you go into it, if you're going to the traditional dealership route, you do have room to negotiate. So you would negotiate the purchase price of the vehicle just like you would any other major purchase. Shop around for financing options. If you belong to a credit union, start there because you tend to get better rates. Now, some dealerships and some makes have their own financing, but always try to go in with your pre-approved loan already in hand. Now, you can also negotiate up to a point things such as interest rate and the length of the loan term. So you should never base your negotiation strictly on a monthly payment. And that's a common mistake people make, because the low payment might seem attractive. It kind of masks the true cost of the vehicle, and it could lead to some shady lending practice. Dealers, again, they can manipulate numbers. Extending a loan rate, we talked about the 72 and 84 month loans, which are a mistake. But it's important to, again, read the fine print here, because sometimes it can be very easy to find yourself, upside down or underwater on your loan, because with these longer term loans, you end up overpaying for the car or basically locking yourself into a long term loan that essentially leads you owing more than the car is worth. Again, a common mistake, particularly with the older vehicles. You hit one major repair and the mechanic's going to tell you it's going to cost more than the vehicle's worth to repair it.
Yeah, that's not a good thing. For folks who did end up upside down in their vehicle loan, where the car is not worth what they still have left to pay off on it, is there any hope for that person? Is there anything they do to get themselves in a better situation?
Well, the best you can do in that situation, depending how far underwater you are, is just take the best offer you can get and kind of just bite the bullet there with that. Because, again, if we're talking about, like we'd mentioned before, if you're talking about brands like Toyota, like Honda, like Subaru that maintain, high resale value, you might have a better shot. But if you have something, a brand that's not as popular or maybe not as reliable, you're going to have a lot of trouble unloading that vehicle without taking a significant financial hit.
So when you go to buy the vehicle, very key for you to be sure you're doing the shopping you're talking about, not just for the vehicle, but for the financing, for any warranty that's attached there too, or that you buy with it, and not to mention your insurance, which you need to shop as well.
Right. One other thing too about negotiation, when you go to the dealership, or when you begin financing, make sure the first thing you want to do is check your credit score, check your credit history, and make sure you have at least good or excellent credit before you begin negotiating. Because if you have less than good credit, assuming that you are able to get a car loan, you have less wiggle room with the interest rates. Because if you have average or fair credit or even bad credit, you might be able to get a loan, but you're going to be paying an exorbitant interest rate.
Is there a figure that you guys keep in mind for your loan payment to your take-home pay ratio? As you budget for this, what kind of numbers should you be looking at?
Well, ideally, and again, different states have different incomes and different average loan balances, but ideally the best states have a ratio of less than 25% or less. So less than a quarter, the lower the better, and Washington, D.C. all the way down to bottom at 18%. But ideally, you would want to keep that ratio below 25%. And again, once you pay the car off, set aside part of what you were paying before into some sort of an emergency fund. And again, not only for repairs, we talked about insurance. My auto insurance has gone up every single year with minimal reductions. You get some kind of discounts if you have like accidents or violations, but don't expect car insurance to rates to drop anytime soon.
Yeah, that's very true. Would you suggest to a consumer, as they look at this ratio, to get it below that 25% that you're talking about, is maybe this time out, buy a little bit lesser of a car. Get one with fewer features. Maybe the same body style, but doesn't have all the bells and whistles. And then next time, you might be in a better position to upgrade the vehicle to something that you're looking for.
Right, and that's why it's important to do all of that before you go to the dealership, because obviously the dealer is going to try to coax you into buying the top of the line with all the bells and the whistles, some of which you might not even use or need. You can go on sites, used car websites like CarMax, for example, and sort of do some comparative shopping. You can do filter searches for the features that you want, the trims that you want, and it'll show you all of the available. And that way you have sort of a ballpark figure to start with.
Walk in informed, like you're going to be a lot better off. That's true.
Exactly.
And we're back to wrap it up with Chip Lupo in moment.
When guys like me separate from the military, we tried to move forward. But to truly move forward, we need to take care of our bodies and our minds. I finally understood that after I went to VA. I saw the difference it made to have providers who understood what I've been through and know how to help. I'm getting the highest quality health care at the lowest cost. And I'm telling every veteran I know that taking care of yourself is the strongest thing you can do. Get what you've earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Up to 44% of veterans say reentry into civilian life was difficult. 20% say they experienced depression, and 6,000 vets complete suicide every year. You're not alone. At the Florida Veterans Support Line, over 300 veterans like you call every week for resources, referrals, and support. Connect with one of our veteran peers who has walked in your shoes and can help you take the next step. You're not alone. Call 1-844-MY-FL-VET. Or visit myflvet.com.
You work hard to provide a better life for your family. The only problem is that you now have a tax bill that you can't afford to pay. The IRS is now threatening to garnish your wages and put a levy on your bank account. You can't ignore the IRS. They won't go away on their own. You need help. And you need it now. Call the tax pros at United Tax Fix today. Call 800-762-2768. That's 800-762-2768.
This boating season, the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission wants to remind you to wear your life jacket. You make a difference in the life of your family. As a parent, it's your job to keep your kids safe and be there for them. You do it at home, at school, and you need to do it on the water as well. Always wear your life jacket and have your children wear theirs too. It's a basic step that saves lives. Life jackets save lives. Wear it, Florida. Visit myfwc.com for more information. That's myfwc.com.
Shortness of breath, patient's confused, temp 102.
He just had an infection. What's going on?
He's becoming septic.
Antibiotics started. Bed ready, let's move him.
Infections can lead to a deadly chain reaction in your body called sepsis. Very quickly, sepsis can cause tissue damage, organ failure, and even death. If you know the risks, can spot the symptoms, and act fast, then you can get ahead of sepsis. Learn more at cdc.gov/sepsis.
My muscles ached. I was tired all the time.
My son had a full-blown asthma attack. It came out of nowhere.
The unsettling thing about some symptoms is
I had a fever and these terrible headaches.
You don't always know what's causing them.
It was Lyme disease from a tick bite.
I had Zika virus from a mosquito.
He had a reaction to cockroach allergens.
Threats to your health can come from unexpected places. Get the facts. Visit pestrol.org. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association.
Back to wrap it up on the Florida Roundtable. Bill Mick, along with Wallet Hub analyst and writer Chip Lupo. Chip, let's recap for everybody. We've got a lot of auto debt in this country, and Florida kind of ranking in the middle of the country as far as how we're handling that. Let's set the stage for everybody once again so they know what they're looking at.
Right. We're talking, Bill, about $1.6 trillion in car loan debt, averaging almost $14,000 per household, and it's going to go up. Interest rates are still trending upward recently and only gone down slightly, so car prices are not keeping up with inflation. In fact, it's pretty significant. Now, things such as high prices and high interest rates are forcing people to borrow more than they can reasonably afford on a vehicle.
And we don't know the impact of tariffs yet.
Exactly. So, and again, there's some uncertainty there. So once there's some finality there, you may see a wave of people rushing to buy used cars, creating more of a supply and demand issue. But when it comes to buying a car, first thing is make sure you have good credit. You have more leverage when it comes to negotiating. Don't take out a loan for more than you can reasonably afford. And once you pay the car off, well, first of all, keep in mind all the other costs that go with it. There's going to be taxes. There's going to be fees. And there's going to be insurance.
And maintenance along the way.
And that's going up too also. So make sure, again, do your homework. Make sure you have a car that's reliable. Not all cars are perfect. Even the most reliable ones are going to, you're going to get a tire is going to blow out on you eventually. Once you get the car paid off, set aside funds, a portion of what you were paying. Don't look at that as this extra income. Set aside at least a portion of it for some type of emergency fund so you can brace yourself if you do find yourself in a situation where you're in need of repairs.
Is it your position that folks are generally able to get the car they want, or do they need to be smart about that? Are they putting themselves in harm's way by going for that car they want as opposed to the one they can afford?
Well, generally you can get the car that you want, but again, you have to be careful though, again, because you'll wind up paying, particularly if it's a car or style that's in demand, you're going to be paying a little bit more. But again, just make sure that your financial picture will allow that. But for the most part, generally you can get at least a type of car. You may have to sacrifice a few things. Don't purchase a car just because it has all the bells and whistles. If you're a person that has to have a GPS, that's okay. And if you don't need the sunroof, don't get the car with the sunroof. If you don't need the leather interior, if you're a person like I am who satellite radio is a must, go for it. But if not, and if you could think you can do without it, then don't get it.
You had to bring fighting words here to the terrestrial radio show, didn't you? Satellite, what? But I understand. And, you know, for folks who have specific genres that may not be available in certain markets, I get it. It can make some sense sometimes.
Or if you travel like I used to, and it's just a nightmare trying to get locked into a station for so long. One minute you're grooving along to a station. Next thing you're listening to a baseball game.
Well, the cool thing is most cars come with apps now, right? And the app is there, and you can do what you want on the app, just about any car.
Or you can connect your phone to it, and then you can have all the apps.
Hey, let's not make this the last time we talk. Chip Lupo with Wallet Hub, analyst and writer there. It's been interesting and informative, and I really thank you for the time, Chip.
Hey, thank you, Bill. Again, we appreciate your interest in our work, and I do look forward to talking again very soon.
Okay, we will do that, and that's going to do it for this edition of the Florida Roundtable. Appreciate you spending your time with us here on the weekends on the Florida News Network. We'll be back at it next week. The Florida legislature's come up with a budget. We might be talking about that. Just can't tell you yet. We'll see you next weekend.
You've been listening to the Florida Roundtable with Bill Mick, a news and public affairs presentation of the Florida News Network. The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of this station management, owners, or sponsors. For questions or concerns, contact Florida Roundtable at fnnonline.net.